One teacher was throwing out some of the old sayings to the class and some of the proverbs. And she asked the students to finish the proverb and said, when the blind leadeth the blind, and they were supposed to finish that. One child said, get out of the way. And she asked, she said, a penny saved is? And the child said, not much. And then one more said, it's better to be safe than punch a fifth grader. Kids can, they have some crazy ideas of what these actually mean. And it's better to be safe than to punch a fifth grader, I agree. You know, today, just thankful for people that are more hopeful and healthier. You know, even a single act of kindness can go a long way. Scientists studying thankfulness. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm thankful. Tell your other neighbor, say, you're thankful. See, sometimes we got to encourage those around us to be thankful. Amen? You ever get around a bunch of people and they're not so thankful? We have to be those that draw that out of them and encourage them to be thankful. But the scientists found that a one-time act of thoughtful gratitude produced an immediate 10% increase in happiness and 35% reduction in depression symptoms. One act of kindness, 35% less depression. We got a job to do, church, right? Just acts of kindness. Just speaking life into people's lives and watch everything start to change in their lives. It says the happy effects disappeared within 3 to 6 months, which shows that gratitude is an act to be repeated again and again. It can't just be something, hey, honey, I told you I loved you last year. You're good, right? Some people are looking down like, oh, busted. But to be thankful is something that we need to do continually. Having an encouraging word for those that are around us needs to be something we do constantly. And why is it such a struggle for some people to say kind words, to encourage people? Why is it so difficult? We're talking to the church now. We ain't talking to the heathen. They ain't got no sense. We understand that when it comes to the word of God. But we're talking to the body of Christ. Why is it so difficult for the body of Christ to say kind words to one another? To be thankful for one another? Why is it so difficult when you get around people who are, yeah, and that's all they can get. That's all they can give you. Hey, I'm so great to see you. Yeah. They don't believe you. They don't believe that they're worthy of someone missing them, number one. Number two, they can't think of anything kind to say. Isn't that incredible sometimes? Right? Hey, it's so good to see you. That's all you get. It shouldn't be so in the body of Christ. We're to be the most thankful people on the planet. Right? We're supposed to have something to share every time we get together. Whether it's one person, two people, or 50 people, every time we get together with someone, there should be something that we have to share in the ways of the things of God to build and to strengthen the body of Christ. So I just want to encourage you. I think you guys are amazing. That should last you the whole year. No, we're going to tell you that every day of the year because of the Christ that lives on the inside of you, you're mighty to the pulling down of every stronghold. Amen? Therefore, there's nothing lacking in our lives because all authority and power has been given to us. Therefore, you're encouraged to go and do the will of the Father, which is strengthen those that are in need. And it ain't hard to find them. Amen? They said that a kind word or being thankful improves the quality of sleep. Gratitude improves psychological health. Gratitude enhances empathy and reduces aggression. It improves self-esteem. Stop it over there. And it improves mental strength. It makes you stronger. Kind words, encouraging words, being thankful makes you stronger. When you're able to be thankful for everyone else, and whatever, the Bible says we're to be thankful in all things, right? Be grateful in all things, right? It didn't say thankful for all things, but in all things. We're supposed to be strong in the Lord. So that no matter what happens, it's not the issue that happens, it's what God's training us to be able to handle, which is much more than what we've ever lived. And I believe we're coming into a season that you're going to need the strength of the Lord in a greater way. Romans 8:14. It says, for all being led by the Spirit of God, these are what? The sons of God. That's right. So we're going to have to be led by the Spirit. Can I tell you, the Spirit of God only does what he has seen and heard in heaven. And the Bible says that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're all one. Right? They're all one. There's no jealousy between them. There's no worry about who does what part of it and what they get to do, right? None of that. There's perfect unity in the Godhead. Perfect unity. That's what God's looking for here. He wants us to walk in perfect unity so that when, with my wife, right, in the beginning, me and my wife, we competed. And it took us a little while before we learned how to complete one another and enjoy the strengths and the differences and the weaknesses in one another. It took us a little while to get out of the mud. Mostly me. I'm just being honest. All right? But it took a little while to get traction and then to learn to be thankful for in everything, not for everything, but in everything, learning to be thankful. And now we just have, you know, an incredible time together. We used to always have people over and stuff, you know, and always have big groups and all of that. Now, we just like being together by ourselves with nobody around after 35 years. And we have so much fun. We laugh and cut up and hang out. And even the silliest things that we do, we get giggling about. Why? Because we found out how to be thankful for one another. We found out how to see what God created in that other person that's so amazing that I want to be around that I need that. I don't know about you, but I need you guys in this house. I need you to accomplish all that God's called us to do as a body of Christ. We need you and what God has called you to do. And there's a calling on each life that's represented here. And it's time that the body of Christ stood up and said, I'm throwing everything else aside and I'm walking after that calling that God has on my life. Okay, there's three of us. This is a godly place I'm in, I can tell. Full of faith and power. You have a call of God on your life. I'm thankful for your calling. I don't know what my calling is. Come and meet with us. We'll let you know. And then once we meet and you know, then you're responsible. Probably won't be too many people coming. Because so many people don't want to know what their calling is. Isn't that what the body of Christ is? No, that's your job, preacher. That's your job, teacher. That's your job, evangelist. That's your job, apostle. That's your job, prophet. I don't want to have to deal with it. I don't want to have to go and do it. I just want to do what I want to do. It's not what he said. That's not a thankful people. God's called us to be thankful. And that's not those that are led by the Spirit. Can we all say amen? Everybody together? Okay. Because if we're going to be led by the Spirit, we're going to walk out the calling that he's put on our lives. The one that he has poured out upon us, the one that he's spoken over us, he's prophesied over us. That's the only focus we're allowed to have in our lives. All these things, he said, I'm going to give them to you. All these other things I'm going to give to you. Don't worry about it. You'll be able to enjoy the things that are out there. We had a fun time hunting yesterday. The whole family was together. It was so gorgeous. Nick and Nicole came up from, with Honey Joe, they came up from Tennessee. And so all of my kids and my grandbabies was there, all eight of them. Chaos. Wonderful, wonderful chaos. Jamike, he takes Savannah, she's four or whatever, and they go hunting together. Of course, he just stays on one side of the hill with her. and the deer are hopefully on the other side, and he just lets her talk, and she brought her BB gun, so she was ready. She was ready. You know, and then Landon, he went out across the street. He shot one and called me up, said, "Dad, I got one." I said, "Wonderful. Gut it. I don't have a knife." So I jumped on the little Honda motorcycle and went over there along with Gavin and all the grandkids, or some of them. We all walked down through the woods, and then we gutted it, and they loved it. And I said, "I ain't dragging this thing out." So I brought a piece of rope, and I tied it to that motorcycle, and I drug it out of the woods with the motorcycle. Then Jamike, he shot a couple to put meat in his freezer, so he had to take the truck and go over and get them. And it was just an amazing time, and I was so thankful for all of them to be there. So thankful, and watching all of the grandchildren step up and do and act out who they are becoming. Isn't it incredible? Watching the different ones from the different families start acting and interacting together. It's just a microcosm of the church. It's no different than that, right? Some are struggling to be in charge. Some are struggling to get what they want. Some just put their, like, Emmett, when you pick him up, he just takes his head and he just thunk. And he hits you right in the middle of the forehead with his forehead. And he just stays there. And then you just kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss on him. And that's who he is. Each one of them has a calling in their lives. Even at a young age. So our job is to nurture them in that calling, because they're going to give an account one day. And we're going to give an account for how we trained God's children. Amen? You have a call of God on your life. And if you are not pursuing that, what are we pursuing? Right? How many people bring a... No, don't raise your hands or nothing. It's not about any condemnation, nothing like that. But how many people actually bring a Bible to church? Right? How many bring it? Now, I have it on my phone. Right. But how many pages are written and tore up and focused on when you have it on your phone? It's on your phone, but some people haven't opened that app in a week. And I thought it would get quiet. But by golly, we don't walk out of the house without a wallet in our pocket or in our pocketbook. You see, the call of God that he's got on your life is mighty. It's powerful. And it's got to come back to the forefront of our lives. Because if we're a thankful people, then we're going to do what he has called us to do. If we're a thankful people, then we're going to put him as the priority and whatever he has decided for each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit will always remind us to be thankful. And we need to know be known as the most thankful church in New York State. Whenever they hear, whenever you say you're from Rock Solid Church, I was talking to, I forget who came in this morning in my office and said, "Oh yeah, I met this person. They said to say hi because I told them I was from Rock Solid Church." And they were like, "Oh yeah, I know your pastor, blah, 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 blah." He didn't say what they said about me, but they knew me, all right? But I'm thankful that they know us. But we need to be known as one of the most thankful churches that there is in this state. That no matter when you walk into a place, just because you're the 15th person in line and it takes a while to check out on Black Friday, do you get an attitude? No. You know, somebody went out on Black Friday. We need to be those that are thankful. We need the whole world and the whole town and the county to see that we're a thankful people because of what God has done. You know, Galatians 5:16, it says, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." So as we look at our lives, as we go into the end of the year here, and I know that in January, we had a time of prayer and fasting, and everybody's writing down what they want to change for the year. And Planet Fitness is always happy with you guys, you know, every one of us, because we... You know, you sign up for it, you pay the $10, and you last 2 weeks, and then you're done. So they make extra money, or 3 weeks, or whatever it is, 3 months. We know that happens. But what you wrote down about what God spoke over your life the first of last year, are we still in line with accomplishing that? Or do we lay that to the side and say, "Oh, well, I'll wait till January. We'll give another shot. Oh, well, I'm not going to worry about it right now because there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus," and you're right. But there is a conviction of the Holy Ghost to accomplish what God's called you to do. The Holy Ghost is always going to bring back to remembrance what you wrote down And he's going to say, remember what the Lord spoke, because his plan for you is bigger than what we're living. Amen? Philippians 4, 4 through 7, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say what? Rejoice. This is what God's called us to do in the Lord and through the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 5, let your gentle spirit be known to all men, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. Oh, if we would walk as the Lord is near us all the time. It would stop some of the conversations. It would stop some of the purchases, because they'd be foolish. It would stop all kinds of things that are going on in our lives if we believe that the Lord is near. Verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So everything's got to be through prayer. And I know that when we pray and fast at the beginning of every year, that God starts to write things down. We need to go back. I just want to encourage you. We've got some time left. Go back and revisit what God spoke to you. Go back and revisit it. Because what he spoke to you was powerful. What he spoke to you was life-changing. What he spoke to you was something he desired for you to accomplish or give yourself to. Why do we go back and ask again if we don't do the first thing he's asked us? Okay, God, that was okay, but that was a little difficult, so can you give me something else? Yeah, I just didn't have it in me. I'm sorry. I didn't feel like it. It was too much of a cost. I didn't really like the change you were trying to bring. Maybe next year. Can we do something a little bit easier? What are the questions or what are the thoughts that we have when God speaks things over our lives, which is usually has to do with laying down, picking up the cross, and following him? The way to our spiritual breakthrough is through the spirit of thanksgiving. You know, God poured out his Holy Spirit with fire to burn away the wrong thoughts, patterns in our lives. The wrong thought patterns and the wrong patterns in our lives. Because the Holy Spirit's always going to lead us into that freedom. John 16, 13. It says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And he will not speak of his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And that's a good piece of information to have right there. The Holy Spirit, look at, the world doesn't know what's coming. Right? They don't know what's coming. You want to read what's coming? Read the book of Revelations. The Holy Spirit told us what's coming. And we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We don't see the whole thing perfectly crystal clear, but we know that judgment isn't against us. Amen? We know the wrath of God is turned away from us. Amen? Right. We know the provision of God is for us all the days of our lives here and in eternity. We know that he's already gone and prepared a place for each of those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We all agree on that, right? Right. So we don't have to fear about what is coming, but something's coming that he wants us prepared for so that they get to hear from the king's kids what's coming and who's coming. See, that's what the Spirit of God wants to do. He wants to tell you what's coming. Some people are Christians I've talked to. Yeah, bro, I don't really want to know what's coming. What? I'm just going to enjoy the day. I really don't want to get into that. These are some things that I've heard. I don't know about you, but if me and my wife are taking a walk and there's a tractor trailer burrowing down the road with a flat tire heading for us, I want to know what's coming. Right? If there's some lunatic running around in Hudson, I want to know what's coming. Go get him saved, obviously, but because no weapon formed against us will prosper. But I want to know what's coming. This is not a time to stick our head in the sand, but to be listening to the Holy Ghost. And he's going to say what he hears in eternity. He's not going to speak of his own initiative, the scripture says. But he wants us to know. Why do you think he spoke to John on the island of Patmos? Because he wanted God's kids to know what was coming. He wanted them to know what to prepare for. Right? What are we preparing for? What are we each as individuals preparing for as the body of Christ? What are we preparing for? Are we preparing just to get by? Are we preparing for me and mine? Or are we preparing for a harvest that this building can't hold, nor can any building that's around this area. What are we preparing for? See, if we're preparing for harvest, then you're preparing your life in the call that God has given you. Because we need more teachers. Three. It's a tough. Are you guys, did you eat turkey this morning for breakfast or what? My goodness. We need more preachers stepping up to preach the word of God. We need more people stepping out in the prophetic without having to be begged or pushed or say, hey, it's your time. We need people in prayer continually, right? That prayer room should be overflowing every Sunday. Why? Because we believe God hears and answers our cry. Should be overflowing. Why? Because if we really believe that God hears and answers our cry, I'm not coming out of prayer. When you listen to Smith Wigglesworth or the Wesley brothers or all these great men and women of God that have gone on before us, prayer was the key. And if you're going to ever fulfill the call of God in your life, you're going to have to get lost in prayer. And nothing else can take its place. Nothing else. Worship can't take the place of prayer. Reading the word can't take the place of prayer. That intimacy has to happen. Now, I read the word of God when I'm in prayer, and then I start quoting the scripture in prayer. But that time in prayer is saying, Lord, I'm giving you the first fruits of my day. I'm going to get up with you because I know that the call of God on my life is to change people's lives, and therefore I've got to be changed. Less of me, more of you. And that doesn't die until we're into an intimate place with him. Because we can tell you till you're blue in the face, right? I can stand up here and I can talk until I'm blue in the face. But when you get alone with God one moment, everything starts to change. We'll say, you need to get in prayer, get into prayer, get into prayer. And then all of a sudden one morning you wake up and the Lord says, please come inside with me. You hear that voice and you head on into prayer and everything starts to change. You don't need anybody to ask you to go into prayer any longer. We beg people all the time. It's for the word of God. Everything through prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known, not unto man, but unto God. Let your requests be made known unto him, the one who hears and answers. When I read the book of Revelations, it causes me to become overwhelmed. I get overwhelmed with God's goodness of how much he showed us. And whenever you read the book of Revelations, you always want to make sure in the first verse there it says there's a revelation of Jesus Christ. So that's got to be the focus. Everything about that book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. We've got to read it from that thought process. But God tells us that there's an end to this life here on earth the way that we know it. And he's going to go scorched earth. Everything gets burnt. Right? So don't lay up your treasures here, because if God's going to burn everything, he's going to burn everything. Nothing you build is going to stay. He's getting rid of all sin, he's burning it all, and he's going to rebuild it without sin. That's going to be a good day, amen? That's a good day. I believe that this morning, I was praying this morning, I got here, and I was just crying out. You know, that I was so grateful last week. I can't tell you how many times I repeated over 20 people getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, telling everybody. That's when there's a hunger for the things of God. That's when fear starts to disappear, and a hunger and a thirsting for righteousness starts to come in. And I'm so grateful, you know, because people want it, right? Did you see what happened on Sunday? People want it. And then one had the courage to stand up and walk up, and then all of a sudden, chung, 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 chung. Okay, but I want you to see that when you walk in the Holy Ghost, when you stand up, when you're not in here, you're somewhere else, and you stand up and you proclaim Jesus Christ, you give strength to others, and they start to come. It's the same thing that happens. You bring strength wherever you go. And you've got a call of God on your life. And as I was praying, I just wrote down, right now I believe God is calling many to step out and not look back. So much of Christianity has been looking back at what's happened before they'll go forward. And God's at a, we're in a season right now, I believe, in the world, not just in America, but in the world, where God's calling men and women to step out and not look back, not think, well, I have to prepare. I have to get this right. I have to. He said, stop looking back. I want you to just look forward and I want you to step out. I really believe that's a time. You see, if we believe that God is that good, how many believe God is good? Thank goodness it wasn't only three. I was nervous. I just got to tell you, I was scared right there. If God is that good that when you step out, you say, yeah, but I'm not sure. You don't have to be sure of anything other than one thing. God is that good. I was not sure when we came over here to Hudson. I wasn't sure at all. Well, I was pretty sure that I was going to ruin what was already started. That's what I was pretty sure of. That was what was in my mind. Because I was looking back at whatever happened and what I had done and thinking, oh, dear Lord, how is this ever going to work? But the one thing we didn't do was stay back. And I think the church has stayed back. I don't know if that's you here this morning, but maybe you've been hanging back, waiting for the next move of God. I want you to know something. You are the move of God. Every person in here is the move of God where you are. That's who you are. Stop waiting for the move of God. You are a move of God. A move of God happens when you step out in your calling. A move of God happens when you stop looking backwards and you step forward and into that place that God has called you to do. And that's only touching one person's life this week. It's not about trying to gather. Oh, God's called me to gather 100 people together. Have you ever trained one? No. Don't look for the 100. Okay? God, he has a little bit more wisdom than we do arrogance. And any man that's ever stood up and preached was looking for a crowd. Just being honest. The arrogance, pride, yeah. And then when it doesn't happen, then God starts to build his men and his women if they stay at it. What he's looking for. Men and women who walk out that call, but you're the move of God right now. And if nobody's life is being changed by you, it is not because God didn't empower us. It is not because we lack. It is not because the Holy Spirit can't do it through us. It's because we said, I don't want to be a part of the move of God because I know what that's going to cost. That's normally what's spoken. I don't want to pay that kind of a price. I've got a life that I've got planned out, the things that I enjoy. I'm going to hold back. I'm going to look back. But I believe that right now, through the power of the Holy Ghost, he's calling every man and woman in here that it's time to stop looking back and to step out. All it takes is one moment. One act of obedience to touch one person. That's all God's looking for. And then as you touch one, he's going to show you how powerful he is in you. That's him in you. It's not you. And the only thing that we share with those is the word of God. It's the power of the word that changes people's lives. Amen? You are the move of God. You're the next move of God that God is waiting for. He wants to stand up. He wants to arise. He wants to release on the world. Yeah, but Pastor, I don't know the word that well. Then share what you do know. And then grow in your understanding. Yeah, but I don't know how to study the Bible. Show up on Tuesday. You know how many people say, Pastor, I just don't know. Right, but they don't take advantage of anything that we do here. Right? So many people don't know. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm looking back. I'm hanging back. Somebody else's job. I'll give them a couple of bucks if they just keep doing it. It's not the way it works. God called each one of us to do it. Different ways. Different ways. Different strengths. Different callings. But with him, all things are possible. Not with somebody else. Not because of somebody else. Just because of him. Amen? That's what he's called us to. And he's looking for those that are looking for him. And the Holy Spirit, I know he's tugging at hearts. Because look, if he's going to go scorched earth and everything you put your work, your effort, your time into is all going to disappear. If when we die, it all stays here, we already know that. But even if it lasts for a while, it's still going to disappear eventually. How much are we laying up in eternity because of our love for him? To step up and commit to study the word of God above all else. To step up and mandate for yourself a time of prayer daily. To step up and step out to proclaim his majesty to those around you. To step up and give on a daily or weekly basis from your abundance. To step up and make him the greatest desire of our lives. To step up and let go of the things of this world. And to step up into the realm of the Spirit where there are adventures to be lived that will change people's lives. The adventure he has for you today is astonishing. It's incredible. As long as you don't look back. Because when you meet someone in a diner today, and you look at them and they come in with a three-piece suit, driving a Rolls Royce, I don't know what diners you go to, but I've never seen one of the ones either. They don't drive them into Bob's restaurant. I just want you to know. But it doesn't matter how much they have, they're just as lost as the guy that's begging on the street corner. So when we walk in, we're not looking back at what we've done or what we have or what he's done. We're only looking at him and what he wants to do through us into their lives. Amen? So whether they're down and out or up and out, that means nothing to us. We walk out into the call that God has in our lives and we change people's lives. Stand up this morning. Listen, for those that are going to be led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God and the daughters of God. We're going to be led by the Spirit, not the flesh any longer. Those days are over. We're coming in a season that's incredible. And you're it. You're the move of God in Columbia County, Greene County, whatever county you come from. You're it. Stop looking for another. You're it. And you're good. You're amazing for that job that he's called you to accomplish. No one does it like you. Tell your neighbor, say, nobody does it like you. Tell your other neighbor, say, nobody does it like you. Come on, we've got to convince some that there's no way anybody can do it like them because they can't. Kia is going to meet different people and she's going to call on her life different than mine. I can't do it like she can. But ain't nobody do it like Kia. Ain't nobody do it like... Not in her circles. Not in her circles. She's not the answer for everybody, but she's the answer for some. Everybody here is. Don't be going writing that song down now, Kia, and taking it, all right? Ephesians 5, as we close, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with our heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There's only one way that we're going to subject ourselves to one another, and that's through the power of the Holy Ghost. Otherwise, pride and arrogance will keep us separated and individualized. But through the Spirit, we can encourage one another and draw the gift out of each and every one and then release into the call that God has on our lives. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your sons and daughters. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to speak your word in public. Lord, we know that when your word goes forward, it accomplishes that which you sent it to do. All we have to do is speak it, and change comes. I thank you for being able to see ourselves in the mirror as washed, cleansed, made whole. I thank you, Father, for that blood being more than enough. I thank you that, Lord, we found that gate, and as we open the gate into that pasture, into that field that you have prepared for us, we have great freedom. Lord, we're thankful for the Spirit of God that descended upon your Son and remained, establishing a whole new way of life. We're no longer does the Spirit just come once in a while to empower someone to do great feats, but as we receive your Holy Spirit now, we get to do what you have called us to do, because the Spirit of God is going to remain every single moment of the rest of our lives. Lord, this morning we thank you for the power of your Holy Ghost, the unstoppable power from eternity. Lord, I pray that each of our hearts would be open to be able to rest, number one, in you, and then listen to the leading of your Holy Spirit. This week, Father, let it be that we have a place that we go where the Word of God is open, where we sit and we start to highlight, memorize, and underline those words that you speak to us every morning, and that we would set time aside to pray, to not miss it for a moment because of who you are and what you desire to speak to your sons and daughters. And Lord, that no matter what, we spend time worshiping you. Lord, whether it's walking around our houses, out in the yard, or driving in our cars, that we just start to crank worship music. We turn the rest of the foolishness off, the stuff that is destructive, or the stuff that brings divisions and schisms. Let this week be a week where we rise up, where each one of us stand up, we look out and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve you, Father. Lord, I agree that each one has a call upon their lives. Some, maybe it's taking care of older people and visiting them and sitting and sharing the Word of God. For some, maybe it's missionary work. For some, maybe it's planting churches. For some, maybe it's teaching. Whatever the gift is, for some, it's giving. For some, it's opening up their house and taking people in. Whatever your gift is in that calling, Lord, I pray that each one would see it, would write it down, would research it, and say, as for me and my house, we're going to walk out the call of God in our lives. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us today. First into the presence of the King, into a place of right thinking, to a place where your word, you grab a hold of it and you remind us over and over and over and over again of the truth in every life represented here. Knit our hearts together, Father, that we would be thankful for one another. Let us remind one another of the gift in each other. Let us speak with loving kindness and mercy and grace with one another, so that you would be glorified in all things and your army would grow strong and be released to occupy, take the land that has been stolen. And we thank you for the victory right now. In Jesus' name, amen.